Roger.
And hello.
Good evening.
Good evening, Australia.
Whenever you're listening to this, might be a pre-record.
Well, it most likely is, because who's going to tune in at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, honestly? Who are we kidding?
Middle of the working week.
Yes.
And we're having a technical breakthrough in the studio at the moment. We're
hitting all the buttons.
Talking through our microphones without the use of headphones, because we've set everything up and hopefully you're not getting any feedback, any feedies back. Yes. So we've got an action-packed show for you today. You are listening to Anarchivist with
Miel
and Andrew.
We need to practice
and
that more.
Yes, we do. We need to get our timing. There's a bit of a pause. Anyway, so I think that was the first time we've ever played through our theme.
Yep, QRJ. We played it fully because we got distracted by the flashing lights on the board.
By the technical issues. Yes, and we have a functioning phone connection now. I don't know what the number is. Is it written somewhere?
It is.
Oh, yes.
Written here.
So if you would like to call in to the Anarchivist show, and we can try and patch you in.
Yes, it is 990-55398.
That number again is 9905. I can't read the letters now that you've just moved. Sorry, the numbers. 9905-5398. 9905-3598.
We can be the most, the worst talkback show.
That's 3998.
You get a horrible Darren Hinch impression.
Heron Dinch. The Hinch.
Before he got into politics.
Before he... Isn't he on, his third liver by now or something?
Oh, God.
He just refuses to die. it's funny because...
and then he goes back into politics.
Possibly related. Tism. There's no Tism on Spotify, is there? We figured this out last time.
Is there?
I don't think there is.
Sorry,
but
I am having...
Darren Hinch was the subject of a rant by Tism in the early 90s.
Right. Do we need to hit up the Googles?
Yes, I'm typing as we speak. What was it? Tism. So, and it came off the album.
I love that title.
Well, Miel,
can you read out
the title, Miel?
No, don't make me read that.
The track is off the album Great Trucking Songs of the Renaissance from 1989, I believe. The Penis is Mightier Than the Sword was a Ron Hitler Barassi rant. and maybe I can quote some of the lyrics here. I'll do a little RHB impression. There's violence on the television and letter bombs in the mail, but things can't be all that bad because Darren Hinch went to jail. Famine eats up children. The peace talks, they always fail because things can't be all that bad because Darren Hinch went to jail, etc. And it goes on for a while. I haven't even read the best bits where they mention Mike Willacy or anything. But years and years later, Tism got Darren Hinch to do a rant about Tism on the album.
On his radio show?
No, it was they commissioned it, and Hinch doesn't really deliver it with much gusto, unfortunately. But it was off the album De Rigor Mortis, and I can't remember what it was called. So if you go and get the album De Rigor Mortis and listen to all of it, you'll enjoy that Hinch rant. Anyway, we're hideously off topic. Not that we are on any topic to begin with.
We don't have a topic to
We don't
be
have
on.
A topic. We have a few that I have considered.
Oh, yes. So we might want to get into a song.
Good idea.
First. So I saw this on the playlist. I put it in the playlist many, many moons ago. And I think it's appropriate. So this is Map Ref 41 Degrees N 93 Degrees West 2006 Remastered Version by Wire.
Expanse of geography and
palaces, the flowery king. A well-known waving span of wings. Weakness, the sinking of the sun. A deep breath of submission has begun. Interrupting my train of thought lines, I'm longing to let you define, refine my altitudes. Interrupting my train of thought lines, I'm longing to let you define. Interrupting my train of thought lines, I'm longing to let you.
that was some wipers there for you at the end of that bracket. I'll just hit pause on that. Okay, so that was some wipers there for you with Over the Edge. And before that, we heard from Wire with their Map Ref, what was it, 41 degrees.
Map Ref 41 degrees north, 93 degrees west by Wire.
By Wire, yes.
A famous post-punks from Britain. Was that British?
British, yes.
And
indeed.
Wipers were Yank.
Yanks, yes.
That's wrong. Sorry for our
Portlandians, in fact.
Oh, right.
Yes.
That's good to know.
What was your topic for today?
It's not a rant. It's more of a... Well, it might be a bit of a rant. So this morning I went to a breakfast with some leaders to talk about leadership, amongst other things.
Leaders, talking about
and
leadership.
And it got me thinking about leadership styles. And sorry, I'm not going to... Well, no, in any venture, this was in the context of organisations. Note that we don't use the term corporations because that's a bad word.
Well, yes.
It
has a specific definition as well.
But it got me thinking about corporate speak and...
corporate newspeak.
And management... strategies and
Andrew, I'm gonna need you to action this request.
No, I've already actioned it. It's going as we speak. It's just an internet connection. So anyway, so I was thinking. When we talk about these things, we talk about things like the Myers-Briggs personality test. We talk about synergizing. We talk about downsizing and maximizing our market potential. Networking. So, I don't know, what do you think about all this? You would probably have a very different take to this than mine because you've been in the job arena, whereas I've been sheltered from all that.
I've been plunged into that world when I worked at a call centre a few years ago before I came to uni. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And really, as soon as you started talking about corporate speak, my mind immediately went to the Mike Judge comedy Office Space, because I feel like that is the most accurate representation of, well, at least working in software or in IT. But in a small to large organization, yeah. And I lost my job in exactly the way that, not the main character in the film, mind you, that was pretty... pretty gutsy what he did.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Although it is like a, 20-year-old film at this point. Come on, people. The way that most of the people in the story lose their job, which is by funny little performance reviews. If you've seen the movie, you'll know what I mean. And if you haven't, well, and you work, you know, in an organization and you've ever had performance reviews, you know what kind of a chill that sends down your spine, because you know that someone's going to get on the chopping block, especially if your KPIs aren't up to snuff, which I also hate. The whole idea behind KPIs is pretty perverse.
Key performance indicators.
Yeah, it basically pits you against everyone that you're working with, so you can't actually relax. You can't make any friends on the job. You're all competitors. You're in this hotbed and it's cutthroat, basically. If you don't take that call, then this friend of yours will take the call and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's all it's very dog-eat-dog.
Now... you got to question whether this, if there is a viable alternative to this sort of, it's almost like gamifying work in some ways.
It is, except the game really sucks. And the game is also perverse and makes you depressed.
Yes, that's right. It's,
I checked,
real world consequences.
Yeah, last time I checked, games were addictive.
Performance reviews
and enjoyable. So I don't know what kind of a game it is. I'm sure, like, if...
Oh, well, you get a high score at the end. And
well,
is
for
it
people
on,
who do
on the
well,
ladder or not?
Yeah, that's true. Like, for people who actually max out their KPIs and stuff, I met a few of them, and they do it. They got an odd sense of, you know, achievement and enjoyment out of their job. But if you're at the bottom of the ladder, then you're not going to enjoy it very much.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. I mean, it goes back to when you're looking for someone who's employable, do you want someone who, A, has all the qualifications or relevant experience, B, someone who can... is known to do the job but hasn't perhaps got the experience or qualifications, or C, someone with any combination of those things but really enjoys what they're doing. I mean, if you could get me to go into... There are a number of things I really like doing, but they're not particularly job-worthy. I mean, they're totally removed from the field that I'm in, but I'd get really enthusiastic. So do you want enthusiasm...
For the first 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Like, you, that's the thing, too, is when you introduce, when you make it a job, and when the deadlines are no longer your own, that's when you really see whether you enjoy something or not.
Now, do you want the experience, do you want the enthusiasm, or do you want the qualifications? Because I imagine you can't always get all three.
Well, I feel like the third point there, the qualifications, is actually increasingly irrelevant. There's a lot of people... point out when they criticize university degrees, although I feel like that does not address the fact that university degrees often put you in an environment where you are getting to know other people who are going to be in your industry or have connections in some way as well. I think that's the only advantage rather than staying at home and watching, you know, Khan Academy.
It's one big networking mixer, really.
I think that's the only reason you should actually go to uni is for
the networking.
Well, networking, there's things that you can't get outside of uni or that are very difficult. Like, for example, job fairs, and, you know, you get a chance to just talk to people, and, you know, friend of your friend knows someone who's in some company, and, you know, all of these things. That's like something like 80% of the job market is word of mouth.
I've always wondered that. So let's create a hypothetical situation here. Suppose that I have my cousin Gus.
This is becoming a yuppie podcast, by the way.
It is. It's turning into exactly
have your green
what
tea
we,
in the morning.
What we don't want it to.
Make your bed.
So don't forget your kombucha.
Yes. Pedal to work. Take a keep cup. Make sure it's biodegradable.
Yes. Bring your LinkedIn tote bag and all
I'm
that.
I'm hating myself with every word that's coming out of my mouth. Okay, go on.
So, yes, anyway, my cousin Gus, who works at Yarra Valley Water.
Okay, yes.
And I want to get a job at Yarra Valley Water as a treatment plant operator.
Just putting that out there. If you're listening, Yarra Valley Water.
If you're listening, Gus... If you are indeed listening, get in touch, because I didn't know I had a cousin Gus. Anyway, then, like, how likely is it that... how far can you go with networking? Because I'm hoping that it's some magical panacea where I'm just able to say, oh, well, my cousin works in such and such, he can get me a job doing... I don't care if I have to, like, clean coffee cups for 2 years.
Depends. I mean, depends on how well you know the person who works there. And, you know, you can't be skeezy and just, like, slide up to them only when you want something from them.
Oh,
of course
not. Well,
you have to actually, you know, have relationships. That's why I don't like the term networking. Networking is so reductionist.
And there's this horrible implicit social contract.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah, just make friends, you know.
It implies that the whole purpose of that interaction is merely for one's self-gain.
Yeah, exactly. And no one really wants a connection like that. It's very skeezy.
It totally is.
And false. But the point is, though, is like not to network, but not to be isolated. Because isolation, I think, is the thing that's going to ensure that you don't get any job opportunities.
And that's
tough, because sometimes isolation is really, it's difficult to combat, you know, for a number of reasons. You can find yourself isolated in life. So it's not easy, but yeah, the truth is that, you know, isolation removes opportunities. So it's something you want to avoid if you can.
Sometimes it can be hard to fall out of that trap of isolating yourself. I know, and especially when, for example, a lot of my friends and my little social network, a lot of them have moved all around. They're still within Melbourne, but a lot of them have just moved around around the place. So it's a 30, 40, 50 minute drive to get to them. And if you're doing that on the weekend and you've got a million other things, whereas previously you could drive up the road and say hi on a Thursday night and then go home and get a decent night's sleep, now you can't do that. So
which comes to the Melbourne music scene and how it often privileges people who live in the inner city because it's just easier.
It's the
you can live in a house with other musicians. You can, you know, it's just easier. You can walk down the street and go to a gig, you know.
It's the proximal nature of the public sphere. You're not insulated in the inner city because you've got so much going on around you in such a high density that you're sort of bouncing off people all the time, which puts people who are in suburbs at a disadvantage.
It does, because how often are you out in the burbs? Are you going to run into somebody who runs a zine or, you know, has a little, like, publication or a record label or...
Yeah, I mean, what inspires people to do these kinds of things in the first place out in the suburbs? I mean, if you're in the city and you see, like, stack of zines in the laundromat or whatever, it's like, oh, I wonder where these came from. What can I do with these? Whereas out in, say, Roeville... there's a song choice. Right. See if there anything comes up for Roeville.
the first thing that comes
up. Yes, I hope it's
the Moonee Valley. Oh, the Drifters.
Moonee Valley Drifters. I forgot about that one. There are two songs written about Roeville, believe it or not. Well, maybe five if you count the ones that I've written.
There's a lot of playlists from featuring Snoop Dogg.
Roeville OG, Roeville Secondary College Athletics 2018.
Shouts out.
A-A-A-A-A Kinder Roeville. Somebody wanted that to pop up at the first page of the phone book. So you're very limited in terms of your exposure and your ability to, again, network in if you're out in the burbs, which is unfortunate. Now, I had this crazy idea, Miel, and this might involve you, so because I need to get all of my friends on board, and we all need to do it. What we need to do is... pool together our resources, and we should all buy houses in Melton.
Melton.
So Melton.
Wait, you just ruined it. Now everyone, all the developers are listening to this.
Oh no, I forgot. Oh okay, well disregard that. I've just directed the next wave of gentrification. It's going to skip Sunshine and go all the way to Melton.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Thank me later, Sunshine.
Sunshine.
Hipsters of Sunshine who are early on the trend.
Basically, like, I think it's the urban sprawl that's doing that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that we should take the urban sprawl to its logical conclusion, because Melton, I looked up, is probably almost the cheapest suburb that's still in the metropolitan region. So you can move to Melton, and we could form a community there, and we can, normies. That's right. We can do our own shows in the Scout Hall and throw people's iPhones over the crowd. And
we just make a big gate around the suburb, and you have to make sure that
you have to listen to at least one post-punk album in its entirety. Oh dear.
And or experimental and like noise hip hop. Or right. Anything left of centre.
Yes. No, actually, I'm pretty sure those are the people that we want to keep out. Anyway, we should all go buy houses.
That's me.
Oh, well, okay. Well, you can come in.
Okay.
You're all right.
I'm the token.
You're the token.
I'm the token.
You're the token non-normie. Wait.
What? What
did I just say? I don't know. I'm talking rubbish as per usual. So move out to Melton, form our own little community, have our own little shops, go to the pizza place
Eat
once a week,
raw
you know,
meat,
like
never hear the Beastie Boys.
You know, I'm not. What?
That's a song lyric,
to get away. Well, we'd also get away from all of those upper middle class dropouts that go and slum it in the.
North. That's another rant, isn't it?
We could drop out from all of that, and we could have our normcore paradise. In the suburbs.
Oh dear, that's the name of this episode, folks.
Normcore Paradise. Oh, great.
Okay, should we go to a song?
Yes, we should go to a song.
Okay, you were programming this bracket, so can you please tell me?
Did I...
You said something
earlier. I did.
What did you say?
I did.
You said something along the lines of, can you play? And then I forgot.
Not the song by Roeville.
No.
You see, now all of the songs I've got in mind won't appear.
I can
okay,
chuck
so we've
on,
got to pick it off the pre-prepare.
I can chuck on a song to tide us over and then we'll...
Oh, I know. What's the first track off You'd Prefer an Astronaut by Hum?
Oh, okay. Hum is a great band.
Are they?
Yeah.
I only started listening to them the other day because they came up in my... somebody told me I'd like swirlies and then Hum came up and said, Little Dipper.
Okay, let's cue it
there
up.
There we go. So this is Little...
Oh, wait, it does not... It's not on Spotify.
It's not on Spotify. Okay, that's unfortunate. Okay.
No.
You're watching our live...
Okay, what about another Hum song?
Oh, let's play some Sebado.
Oh, yes, that's
Sebado.
That's what you asked Sebado. Me to play before.
Can I pick the song?
Yes, you can.
Can we
was
play...
it the one here?
It wasn't the one there.
Oh, okay.
It was... one of the longer ones. Too Pure. Let's play Too Pure. Aww. By Sebado. Off the 1996 album Harmacy.
Yes, and namesake of the record label in Canada as well.
That's
that
good
gave
to know.
Us Scout Niblet.
Scout Niblet! Oh, what a great name.
Okay, here we go. Too Pure by Sebado.
If I give it
Welcome back.
Oh, yes, we just cut the last 20 seconds off Deftones. So in that last bracket, we heard up the top. Did we actually listen to Too Pure by Sebado?
We did.
I totally missed that. That song, I've listened to that song so many times, I no longer hear it.
Mm.
It's one of those incredible things. Off the 1996 album Harmacy, which has never been reissued, unfortunately, because Lou Barlow doesn't like it.
Doesn't like the reissues.
He doesn't like Harmacy, because it was when they were on Sub Pop, and Sub Pop was trying to make them do grunge, like major label band things, and they didn't like doing that, and they had to ask to fire their drummer, which they didn't do, and all that.
Oh, really?
Jazz,
a label
yes.
was telling them that sort of thing.
That's right. Well,
that's very overbearing.
Yeah. Well, Sub Pop was trying to be as close to major as it could at the point, and then it soon folded after that, and the album didn't make back a lot of money. Anyway, it was a very good album, I thought. A bit long. It's got 17 songs on it or something. But some of Lou Barlow's best songs are on there. And after that, we heard Be Quiet and Drive Far Away from the album Around the Fur by Deftones, which we played in lieu of any Hum.
Couldn't find the Hum, so we found the next best thing.
Yes, that's right. Deftones basically ripping off Hum there. quite good. I mean, that's probably the best Deftones song ever.
That tells you something about Hum, doesn't it?
That's right. It's yeah, so if you want more of that, go listen to Hum, not Deftones. So, yes, now I was thinking of, was there anything that you wanted to discuss, any topics that you wanted to bring randomly out of the blue and news on it?
Not particularly. I've been very insulated. I've just been doing my project and not really answering messages very well and all that sort of thing.
Ah, well, ooh, we just had a...
Yeah, what was that? Flashback.
That was a flashback.
To a
show that Miel and I attended probably. It would have been not long after we met.
Yeah, it was Camp Alohum reunion.
Yes.
In the Scout Hall in Preston, was it?
It might have been Northcote. It was in a Scout Hall, and that was where the reference earlier to phones being thrown came from.
Oh, really? I didn't even get that reference.
You don't remember that?
Oh, yes, I do. The front man of Church.
Clowns.
Oh, Clowns, not Church. Clowns.
I was trying to take a photo of the band back when it featured his previous guitarist, Joe. Scarlett Johansson.
what?
Joe hopefully listens to this. He probably doesn't. The singer... knocked my phone out of my hand and flew across the room.
No, he didn't knock it. He grabbed it and chucked it.
He did one of those things. Like it was almost like a netball, a volleyball type piff.
Yeah, and he pitched it.
Did a nice parabolic arc over the audience, and it was miraculously unharmed. iPhone 4 was very good.
Sturdy.
It was quite sturdy, unlike the 5. There was a band that played later that night. Do you remember what they were called?
There were a few bands that night.
They were called Making, I think. Were they Making?
Yes.
So Making, I'm looking. They're probably not existent anymore because they did something else. So Making, and we noted that they were angular.
They were very angular, and they had Travis Beans, I think.
And they had these big aluminium neck guitars, and their last Facebook update was in 2016, so I'm going to take that as them not being active anymore. So,
I hope people don't draw conclusions on my activity through my band's Facebook page because it dies every week.
Or the Anarchivist page, which I notice hasn't been updated in 2 months. Sorry. It will. Or the website.
But yeah, so we peeped their pedal board, and it was just wall-to-wall, like, delays.
It was
memory
about
man's.
5 Ibanez delay pedals.
Wasn't there an Memory Man?
There was
man
a Memory
well?
Man, there yeah. was a DD3, there was all kinds of junk, and it's like, that's how they got it. They just, the delays were probably filtering the guitar, so it was all like a big ring modulator, and kind of like
Unless
a truck reversing the whole time.
I think that might have even been the bassist. Not the guitarist.
Yeah.
I think the guitarist was coming in clean, and the bass was actually really muddy. They were trying to get that Bob Weston
Bob Weston
murkiness.
Mud sand,
but
the Bob Weston swamp.
the swamp. But
Swamp of Weston.
Swamp Weston. But yeah, so and I think Andrew went home later and he drew a comic and posted it on Facebook, and that was pretty funny.
The comic was called Space Chimney.
Space Chimney.
And it was about being impressed by this guy's tone and then realizing he just had 50 delay pedals stuck together.
We needed to
care about tone.
We need to put that on the in the next issue.
I should. I don't know where it is. I must have it somewhere.
Well, it's on Facebook, so you can just print it out. Yeah, it'll be just low res, but
it's very low res. But yeah, I'll redo it. Maybe my drawing's a bit better now. Yes. So. I was intending to give a brief history of the Cave Clan, but we may have run out of time for that. It wouldn't be brief at all, actually.
We noticed in the break that that next show is the last show for this season. The last Anarchivist for this season, at least. Hopefully we can get another season locked down. We'll let you know on the Facebook page if that happens for next semester. Well, you've still got another, 10, 15 minutes plus another hour of us next week. So, we should do the gig guide.
Oh, the gig guide. So, yes. Friday, May 18th, I'm just reading off my Facebook events here.
Same.
Friday, May 18th is at 7:30 p.m. is the EMDRC, that is the Eastern Mountain District's Radio Club meeting at the Club Rooms, which is, I think, at 13A McCubbin Street, East Burwood. And they'll be talking about moving their ATV repeater. Lots of fun.
Exciting, riveting.
Yes, and you might be able to see me there.
Oh, yes. And tonight we have Surf, James Seedy, and Infoghosts. And that's at 8 p.m. at the Yarra Hotel in Abbotsford. Get down to that one.
And next Thursday, May 10th. No, that was a while ago. Sorry, on June the 9th is a benefit show I mentioned previously for George Telek, featuring Not Drowning Waving and Underground Lovers. So get along to that. Do you have anything else?
I'm looking.
Well, hopefully you are going to Orteca on June the 21st at the Croxton Band Room, which is sold out.
I don't think I am, but
unfortunately, maybe you should get on the door. I mean, I'm sure you could get on the door.
Write
him a letter. Write Sean and Rob or whatever their names are, and just say, "Can I get on the door for the Croxton?" And I'll go, "Yeah."
Have you written to them previously? Or?
I haven't, but I can imagine they sound like that.
Oh, also, there's Two Steps on the Water, weeks 3 and 4 of their residency at the Gasometer. That's on the June 21st, so that's a little while away. I am scrolling. There's not a lot going on between now and then.
Steve Kilby from The Church will be playing with Alana Russack and JMS Harrison on July the 7th at the Spotted Mallard.
Oh, I've seen that one coming around.
Yes, JMS Harrison, a good friend of mine. I don't think that I have anything else, so unless you want 5 minutes of the Cave Clan, we could go to a bracket or...
Yes, we should go to a bracket.
No Cave Clan. The phone is still working. We haven't received any of your calls. That number again is 9905-3938.
I think you messed up there. 9905-5398. Or is that, did I just repeat
5398. Yeah, sorry. 9905-5398. 9905-5398. Got it.
Nailed it.
Yes, so, last week, it might have been the week before, we mentioned the big four of intelligent dance music as opposed to stupid dance music.
I'm a fan of both.
And this is one of the probably, they're almost like the Anthrax of the quartet in that they don't get mentioned very often, but they're just as important as Orteca, Aphex Twin, and Squarepusher. This is Mike Paradinas' music from the, I think it's 98 or 97 album, Lunatic Harness. This is Brace Yourself, Jason, and it's good to listen to while you're walking through the Dandenong Creek wetlands. You see, I can't just go in and WordPress into the site or whatever. I actually do need to edit the HTML. That's how old I am. So.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
We will. Bye now.
Bye.
Boom.